You are listening to a message from City Church of Richmond, located in Richmond, Virginia. We are a broken people, loved by God, continually restored by Christ, and sent out to worship God, serve our city, and work for its renewal. To learn more about City Church and to find out how to get connected to our community, visit our website at citychurchrva.com. That's CITYCHURCHRVA.com. And thanks for listening.
And some of you as parents of younger children are just realizing that not only is it Easter Sunday today, but it's also a fifth Sunday of the month, and that means at City Church that we do not have children's worship. So our children get to be a part of the entire service today, and we're very excited about that. And because of that, I want to invite the children to come forward. I've got a special message for you to begin the sermon. So come on up and grab a seat. Thank you. Skipping on up here. I love it. Thank you, Wells. Grab a seat on the steps. More skippers. I love it. That is real Easter joy. Hello, Benji. Come on up. Come on up. We got room for everyone. If we run out of room on the stairs, you can sit on the floor. Find a spot. Come on up. Man, they keep coming. I love it. It's good to see all of you. You look so wonderful today. All dressed up in your Easter dresses and nice clothes. All right, guys, I need three volunteers. I haven't even told you what you're volunteering for yet. Well, you guys are ready to go, but I do want you to raise your hand. I need three volunteers. Here's I need you to like dancing, okay? And I need you to like winning, okay? So if you like dancing and winning, raise your hand, and I need some volunteers. Let's see, okay, we're gonna go with Wells. You can come on up front here, and Sally. And let's see, Savannah. Okay. So you guys can come right in this spot here. And what I need you to do, here's what you're going to do. One at a time, you're going to do your best victory dance. Okay. So, like, if you just won a game or if your team just won, I want you to take a couple seconds and just do whatever dance. You can move your arms, you can use your whole body. Okay. So, Sally and Savannah, step over. We'll let Wells go first, okay? And I'm going to give you a countdown, and then you do your victory dance, okay? You can do whatever you want. So, 3, 2, 1, go. All right, very good, okay. All right, you can step over here, Wells. That was awesome. Give me 5. Good. All right, Sally, your turn. So I'm going to count you down, and then you're going to do your victory dance. 3, 2, 1, go. Whoa, all right, fantastic. All right, Sally, come on over here. Come on over here, you're not done quite yet. Savannah's gonna be last. So count down with me, we'll count down from 3, ready? 3, 2, 1. Whoa, very good, okay. Now, I didn't tell you this ahead of time. I want you to turn and face the congregation real quick, and we're gonna do a quick vote from the congregation of who our best. Let's just vote for them all together. All right, great job. You guys can go sit down. No, sit here first. I got a couple questions, I know. Thank you guys so much. So let me ask you a question. Why do you think I had them show us victory dances today? Yeah, what do you think, Marnie? Okay, because we do victory dances when we win something. Why on today would we do a victory dance? Yeah, Wolfie.
Because Jesus conquered death.
That's right. Today is Easter, and Easter is a day of victory where we celebrate that he conquered death. That's exactly right. Did Jesus, in his victory on Easter, did he win against anything else besides death? You got any other ideas of what Jesus won against? Yeah, Anthony.
He rose from the dead and then he came back to life to save everyone.
He rose from the dead and came back to life to save everyone. That's right, Holland. Yeah, Did he win against anything else besides death? Yeah. Yes, you said two really important things there. He won against the devil, and he took away our sins. So Jesus' victory on Easter was a victory over death, sin, and the devil. And another way we could think about that is he won against all the things in this world that make us sad. And so that is why it's appropriate on Easter to do a victory dance. You know, and in some ways what we do in worship every Sunday is a victory dance. We're cheering not for Sally and for Wells and for Savannah, but we're cheering for Jesus when we gather in worship because he won the victory for us. So for the rest of our worship, and as we sing songs at the end of worship, I want you to think about that, and I want you to sing as loud as you can because this is part of Jesus' victory for us. Would you all bow your heads and fold your hands, and we'll say a quick prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you won the victory for us over sin, death, and the devil. We're so grateful for you, and we want to shout your praise forever and ever. Amen. All right, as you guys head back to your seats, you can grab these clipboards that Miss Jennifer and Miss Catherine are going to pass out for you. All right, friends, my name is Eric Bonkowski, and I'm one of the pastors here at City Church, and we're going to transition from that message for the children into a message for all of us. And I'm going to start off by reading from Scripture. Specifically, I'm going to read some verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 50 through 58. So if you have a Bible with you today, I encourage you to open up and follow along as I read this aloud. These words are also printed in the worship guide, and you can follow along there as well. So let's give our attention to 1 Corinthians 15. This is God's word that he's given to us because he loves us so much. Here's what it says. I tell you this, brothers and sisters, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we now ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to start off with a confession today, and that confession is that I really disdain most every sports victory celebration that we see nowadays. And I realize I'm kind of revealing how old I am. I'm like one step removed from yelling, get off my lawn, at people who pass by. But I don't like watching sports, either live or on television, and seeing the celebrations. You know, you if you watch any sports, you see these all the time, right? It's the people, the wide receiver, the tight end, the running back, they make a first down, and they're like, first down! Right? Or three-pointers in basketball, that's a common one. There are all sorts of crazy things that they're doing on three-pointers now. I don't even know what some of them mean, but, you know, they start with, like, the goggles, like the three goggles, they do that one. And then they're, like, shooting the arrow, like, with the three. Or One I just learned about earlier today, they do this one here, which apparently means ice in the veins. I didn't know that until someone told me. All sorts of things. The other one that you see, I think it started in basketball, but it's spreading to other sports too, is the too small. Like the too small, they do that one all the time. I disdain all of these celebrations. I want to tell these people, like, act like you've been there. Is that the first three-pointer you've ever made? Have you never made a first down before? Because that's what I'm thinking when you do first down. So I disdain all these celebrations. I realize that I'm a crotchety old person at this point in my life. I'm embracing it. But what I want to be clear about is I do not disdain victory. I love victory. I love victory. That's why I love Easter. Because Easter is a day of victory. Did you catch that verse? It's verse 57 in 1 Corinthians 15. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is all about. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you're here out of tradition. But Easter, the reason the church celebrates, the reason that Christians for over 2,000 years have made a big deal out of this day is that it is about victory. It is about the day on which the Lord wins. All spring, winter, and spring here at City Church, we've been looking in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 7 through 15, and we titled that sermon series, we called it The Lord Who Wins, because in the way that he brought his people, Israel, out of Egypt, it was clear over and over again that the Lord is the king. He is the one who wins. And what we see in Exodus becomes fulfilled on Easter Sunday. It was just a preview. It was just a foreshadowing of what God would do through his son, Jesus Christ. He would proclaim to the whole world. He would proclaim to death. He would proclaim to the devil. He would proclaim to sin, I am the Lord who wins. The victory is mine. And so what I want to talk with you about today is three simple things about that victory. That it is a victory over death. That it is a victory from God through Jesus Christ, and it is a victory for us. Those three things. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. First of all, Easter is a victory over death. You realize that you have to have an opponent or an adversary for victory to be meaningful, right? Without that, we don't celebrate victory over toast. Right? Or victory over a vacation, it doesn't make sense. We only celebrate a victory over an adversary, someone who is opposed to us, something that is our enemy. And this was true for Israel when they were in Egypt, and their victory there was over death. You may remember the story of these plagues and how Moses led the people of Israel out, and they came to the Red Sea. And behind them was Egypt, where they had been enslaved and where their lives were at the verge of death. And in front of them was this impassable Red Sea, this sea of chaos, this sea that in the ancient world represented death. They were caught between death on one side and death on another side. And God's victory was giving them a pathway through. It was a victory over death. And the people of Israel, in that moment, as they looked at the Red Sea in front of them and as they looked at Egypt behind them, they said to Moses, their leader, they said, were there not enough graves in Egypt? Right? Death was on their mind. They were fearing for their lives. And so today, it's the same, that Easter is a victory over death. It's a victory over not just physical death, but it's a victory over spiritual death. It's a victory over the death that is all around us in this fallen world, and even the death that is at work within us because of the way sin has a hold on us. Paul tells us as much in these verses. It says in verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. What is the victory of Easter? It is victory over death. It's victory over sin. It's victory over the law that reveals our sin. And let me back up. And in case you don't know it, the larger story that the Bible is telling is this, that we all are sinners. We are born sinners into this world. Our hearts are turned away from God, and we know that's the fact because the law shows it to us. God gives us this law, and we can't keep it. And every time we look at the law, we realize another place that we are sinners. And then this story of the Bible goes on to tell us that the wages of sin is death. We are all, every one of us, young and old, we are sinners. And what we earn because of our sin is death. And then the last part of this biblical story, this biblical narrative, is there's not a single thing we can do about it. On our own, we have no hope. This death sentence, this sin problem, we can't fix it ourselves. And if you understand that, suddenly your eyes are open to the victory that Easter is, because it is a victory over sin and death. And here's the thing, the bigger the enemy, the bigger the adversary, the greater the victory, right? The greater the victory that is ours. It says, in verse 56 that the sting of death is sin. When I was in elementary school, I was a safety patrol, no surprise there, right? I had the little sash thing, the belt that I wore each day before school, and I had this habit. I thought it was a cool, like, sixth grader at my school, and there were yellow jackets that would fly around as kids were getting off the bus, and I used to smash the yellow jackets between my hands. You know, they'd be buzzing around, I'd go like that, and a lot of times I would kill them. I did that until I got stung, right? And I stopped doing that. Turns out they can still sting you if you don't have the angle quite right. Where in your life have you been stung by death and sin? Because chances are somewhere in your life you've had that experience. You can go for a little while in your life. You can live a footloose and fancy free. You can be slapping your hands at all the yellow jackets around you till you get stung. Where have you been stung by death and sin? Where do you feel that sting today? Because that is the clue of where you need the victory of Easter. There are all sorts of places that shows up in our lives, right? We don't have to look very far. Some of you this very year have lost loved ones, and you're very aware of the sting of death. Others of you know the sting of shame that haunts you because things in your past, things that you haven't even told a single other person, you're too ashamed. There are others of you who know the sting of fear that comes from that thought of running into randomly the person you're estranged from, maybe a member of your family or a relationship that's broken, and you carry that fear around with you. That's like a sting. And others of you know the sting just of hopelessness because life hasn't turned out the way you thought it would. It's been a lot harder and darker than you ever imagined. Right? The sting of death, the sting of sin, the sting of the law is all around us. And you know, that sting of death and sin is exactly what Jesus' friends were feeling on the very first Easter morning. That Sunday morning, Brianne read a passage from Luke 24 about it. And did you pay attention to what they were doing and what they were thinking? His friends were trudging together to a tomb. They were expecting, when they got to that tomb, to find death. They'd even brought spices and perfumes to cover up the stink of death. And I love that passage because it captures how I so often live my life. Trudging towards expected death. Headed to a tomb. Trying to cover up the smell of death that hangs around me and around my life. But Easter is a victory, and that first Easter morning was a surprising victory for Jesus' friends, because when they got to the tomb, when they got to the place of death, Jesus was not there. This great surprise victory for scattered and fearful disciples, both then and now. For you, too. For me. Easter is victory over death. All the broken things mended. More things mended than you ever dreamed could be mended. Put back together. Dead things brought to life. Hope to the despairing. Joy to the saddened. But Easter's victory is not just over death. It is also, secondly, it is a victory from God through Jesus Christ. And this, again, is just the same way that Israel's victory in Exodus worked. A few weeks ago, Harrison preached on this passage of God leading the people through the Red Sea, and they were frightened and fearful, and they saw death, and they knew they didn't have the resources to do anything about it. They were hopeless. They were afraid. They looked at death as this great, insurmountable enemy, and God said to them through Moses, "Fear not, for the Lord will fight for you." It is God's victory. The victory comes from God. Fear not, for the Lord will fight for you. You can't do it, but He can. And today I have even better news. Fear not, for the Lord will fight for you becomes fear not, for the Lord has fought for you. He has faced down Satan. He has faced down sin. He has faced down death on the cross. And He has won. Christ is risen. The tomb is empty. Death could not hold Jesus down. That's what Easter is about. That's why it's a victory. This force, these powers that we are helpless against, Christ has defeated. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Death has been swallowed up in victory, as our passage tells us. This great verse here, 54 into 55, it says, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" And what I want you to think about as you read those verses, it's almost as though God Himself is taunting death. This is divine trash talk. This is God jersey popping, chest thumping, right? He's saying, "Death, where is your sting? Where is your victory? It is gone. Because I have vanquished it. I have won. Death is done. Death is done." And notice, friends, that this victory that comes from God comes through Jesus Christ, most specifically. Both then and now. And the way that the victory of Jesus Christ comes, this is important, it comes in two parts. This is consistent in Paul's thinking about Jesus' victory. It's consistent in the way that the Bible talks about it. It happens first in His resurrection. That is the signpost that death will not stand against God, will not stand against Jesus. But that signpost is pointing forward to Jesus' second coming. And it's Jesus' second coming that these verses in 1 Corinthians 15 are actually about. At the end of the chapter, he's talked about Jesus' original resurrection, and now his mind is moving forward. And he's saying there will be a time when we'll all be changed, when the trumpet will sound. And that is when once and for all, every vestige, every influence, every atom of death and sin will be gone forever. And it's so important because when you hear this message of Easter victory and you're like, it's a victory over death. Well, I look around at my life, I still feel death. People I love die. I feel hopeless. I don't feel joy. How can that be? Because Christ hasn't returned yet. He has just offered us the down payment, the sign ahead of time of what will be. Paul talks about that in this chapter. He talks about it a little bit earlier. It's verse 20. In fact, it's a really important verse. I'm going to read it. We read it, I think, in our assurance of pardon. But it says this, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." That word, first fruits, is really important. And it's important for me to explain to you, too, because we're not horticulturalists anymore, right? We're not agriculturalists, so we don't really understand what a first fruit is. Good news, though, I have a fig tree, right? Some of you know that. I have this fig tree, and in the winter it dies back. All the leaves drop. Becomes the season of the sticks, right? But yeah, you can go to my alley right now and you can see the tender shoots that are beginning to form. Green leaves are starting to pop out on the fig tree. In another month or so, maybe early June, there'll be one fig that shows up, the first fruit. And what does that first fruit tell me? That the harvest is coming. Surely, certainly, that come July, come August, that tree is going to be covered with figs. So many figs that I'll bring buckets of them before worship for you to eat. That's what a first fruit is. It is a sign that acts as a guarantee of what is to come. And so Christ's resurrection is a first fruit that guarantees your resurrection and the resurrection of this whole world. And life for all who believe in him. It's saying it's already sure. It's just not yet. It's a victory that comes from God through Jesus Christ. And here's the last thing I want to say about it. It's really important. Because it comes to us through Jesus Christ, all that's left for us to do is believe. That's all that's left for you to do related to this victory. And this part is really what Paul develops at the very beginning of the chapter. I can't read all of it, but let me read the first verse. It says this: "Now I would remind you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." What Paul is saying at the very start of this chapter is all you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and the victory is yours. You don't have to do a bunch of works. You don't have to do a bunch of penance. You don't have to prove yourself to God. You have to receive and stand in the gospel. I realize it's Easter today, and many of you come to church on Easter out of tradition. Maybe you came with family. Maybe you don't normally come. But there's something in you that is desperate for victory. As I've been talking, you've been thinking about that place where death and sin reign in your life. The places in your life where you don't have any hope anymore. I want to tell you unequivocally that the victory of Easter is yours if you believe in Jesus. That's all you have. You can do it today. Put your trust in him. Stand in him. Receive the gospel. It's that simple. It's a huge problem, but it's an even greater victory, and it's yours for the taking. Just believe. Easter is a victory over death. Easter is a victory from God through Jesus Christ. And finally, I've already anticipated this last point, it's a victory for us. But thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory. How can that be? We didn't do anything. It's the glory of the gospel. We had nothing to do with the victory, but all of the benefits come to us. You guys all have that friend, right? Who, when they're talking about the sports team that they root for, they start using the first person plural. Can't believe we got that win last night. Got that dub. It's one step better than the guy who's like, "Oh yeah, we really had a hard labor." But that's how it works in the gospel. Jesus did all the work. Jesus won the victory, and we get the blessing. We become participants in the victory through our faith. What is true of Christ becomes true of us. alive in him, our living head, as the hymn puts it. We get to live in victory through our faith in Christ the victor. And kids, you know, a few minutes ago you were up here and I had you do your victory dance. This is our victory dance. It's how we participate in the new life that Christ has given us through his resurrection. It's what the church does. We gather every Sunday and we engage in a victory dance. And Monday through Sunday, we live our lives in a way that show forth a victory dance, that we are participating with Christ. Death in this world still is all around us. It makes us unstable. It makes us unsure. It makes us afraid. It makes us tentative and trembling. But look at verse 58. After Paul has talked about the victory that Jesus has won for us, the victory that we receive and participate in through faith, he says this, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." That is how we participate. That is how this victory becomes for us. This victory gives us an unshakable life, even when that victory is hard to see and maybe even harder to feel. We are united to Christ by faith, and his victory is ours. The best example of this that always comes to mind for me is a story from history. It's a story from World War II. And in World War II, there's these series of islands that are right between France and England. They're called the Channel Islands. One of them is an island called Guernsey. And Hitler, at the beginning of the war in 1940, he sees these islands. And so they fell under Nazi occupation. And for 5 years, they were ruled by the Nazis. And the Nazis, of course, took away any contact with the outside world, took away televisions or radios. But a few people had contraband radios. They hung on to them, and so they could still get news of what was going on and how the war was transpiring. And on these Channel Islands, you know, it took news a little bit longer to get there because they were so remote and cut off from the rest of the world. But when victory came to Europe, there were a few people on those Channel Islands, on Guernsey, who turned their radios to the news, and they heard that the Allies had won, that Hitler and the Nazis had been defeated. And what was it like for them to walk around those few days or those few weeks before news came from the mainland to the island that the victory was theirs? Friends, that is how we as Christians live. In this world, still under occupation of the evil one. But we know that he's been vanquished. We know that Christ has defeated him. And so we walk with a spring in our step. We walk skipping forward to the children's sermon, right? Because we know the truth. We know the victory that Christ has won for us and in which we participate. It's hard, friends. I know it is, because we still see and feel around us death's effects. We still feel and see the effects of sin. It's like people who know that the war has been won, but they look around and they say, yeah, but some of my comrades were lost in that war. Or they look around and they see a friend who's an amputee and they lost greatly through that war. Or they shudder inside themselves because of the PTSD that they carry because of that war. But the victory is ours. Christ has won. Yes, death will continue to try to do its worst, but it will not win. Christ has won. That's what Easter's victory is about. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus' resurrection on that Sunday morning 2,000 some years ago, it was not the final word, but it was a guarantee of the final word. We have hope because we know the ending of the story. And now we live through the rest of the story knowing that ending and holding fast to it and heeding what Paul tells us in verse 58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Please pray with me. Loving Father, resurrected Christ and life-giving Spirit, help us now to walk in the victory of Christ over death, won for us, not of our own doing, and help us to live in the fullness of the Spirit this day and forever. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.